Okay, Blake, I've been working on some jingles for our new website launch. So I've got churchy, churchy, church, church gear.
Toby, what have I told you about singing on the podcast? It doesn't work. But you know what is working? Our new website. You can actually get it to load on your phone. You can actually buy a new piece of gear without your phone bursting into flames.
Well, what if I spelled it out like C-H-U-R-C-G-E-R?
Toby, stop. That is not working. But you know what is working? The search bar on our website. You can actually search speakers and speakers will appear. No joke, that didn't always work.
Okay, what if I just did something like go to churchgear.com?
You know what? That one works.
Blake, who is your favorite worship artist of all time?
Does Need to Breathe count?
Kind of.
Oops.
Welcome to the Church Gear Podcast, where we pull the tech director out of the booth and onto the stage to share the most outlandish stories and hidden wisdom from the tech trenches. And now, here are your hosts.
I'm your host, Blake Hodges, and I'm here with your other host, the only man who would lift a dual 18 sub while wearing sandals, Toby Walters.
Dude, I'll wear sandals as long as the weather is like above, I don't know, 58 degrees. And how many times have I been yelled out by our warehouse crew for wearing sandals in there?
Brian's yelled at you. Frank's yelled at you. I've said, hey, your feet might die, but I'm no better because I've got tennis shoes that I ripped open while I was in there. So
they're like, Toby, safety.
Safety,
and
boots.
I'm from California. You know, we wear flip-flops all the time.
Yeah, we're either chilling or we're dying. You know, there's no worry in that equation. Okay, well.
So worship artists. So you said Need to Breathe, and that might count because they have written some worship songs.
I mean, I was in my head thinking like when I'm in a down moment and I need to cry to God in the car and sing a song, who do I play? And I play Need to Breathe. So.
And is it because Need to Breathe is from Charleston?
Oh, I forgot about that. Bonus points. Yeah, that would have automatically
your
been
heart
my answer.
Is in Charleston.
Yeah, I mean, my body is in Tennessee, but my heart lives in Charleston. I've actually said some version of that before.
Okay. So I'll just say it. My favorite worship artist of all time is Crowder.
Okay.
He's just got, you know, he's got a special sauce that nobody else.
Crowder, Clam Chowder.
Well played. I'm sure he's listening right now, and I think he's going to start using that.
Oh.
So you might want to trademark it real quick.
Nope, he can have it for free if he'll just come on the pod. That'll be the exchange.
Perfect. Done. Okay, so instead of an opening story, I decided I'm going to do four truths and a lie about Crowder.
It's the first time Toby's doing some truths and a lie. Let's see if I can guess them.
So these five things are experiences that either I had or like directly knew somebody who had with Crowder. Okay.
Okay. So it's
and
first
you have to
or
guess,
second hand accounts.
That's right. You have to guess which one is untrue, Blake. And then our guest might actually be able to tell us for real if any of these things are just totally made up. So here we go.
What happens when he says they're all made up?
I know. That'll be unfortunate. So, number one, the first time I saw Crowder was at a worship service in San Diego, and it changed the way I thought about worship music.
Okay, that sounds believable.
Okay. Number two, for one of his tours, every band member had their own tour bus.
You know, that has to be the lie, because I can't imagine them being prima donnas, or maybe they just got a great deal, you know, a buy one, get four special.
I'm sure with that Crowder,
Clam Chowder. Yeah, he's
perfect.
He just,
okay, so number three, he was a part of a tour of the Dr. Pepper Mansion in Waco, Texas, and during the tour guide said that the Dr. Pepper Mansion was for sale, and he immediately said, sold, and bought it and moved in.
Now, is that a story where you were on the tour and that happened,
no,
or you read
that? That was secondhand account.
Okay.
Another secondhand account. Each band member made a standard yearly salary higher than yours, Blake, and this was 12 years ago, but Crowder did not make a salary.
All right, I'm going to lock that one in. It's not hard to make more than $12,000 a year. I'm going to say that's...
you make like 13 a year. Do you want me to lower it back down to 12?
Well, you know, there's 12 disciples, 12 grand in a year, you know.
Okay, and last one. A Christian magazine editor pitched one of my songs to Crowder, and he was nice enough to turn it down in person to my face.
Oh, gosh. That is nice. I mean, how often do you even just apply for a job that's like, you know, making $11,000 a year, and they don't even call you back? So
that's right.
I'm going to say, but if that happened, if you had met him 2 years, there's no way I wouldn't have heard that by now. I'm going to say that is the lie.
So you're going with that like in person he turned down my song to my face.
Yeah, because number one, logistically, there's just no way he could have fit that into his schedule. And two, you and I hang out a lot. We've taken many a 12-hour van ride. I would have heard this story. If we haven't heard it, I'm going to be disappointed.
What if I added on to the story that he turned down the song, but he offered me a salary higher than yours? Would that be a little more believable?
It would, because you have had people try to hire you and you'd be like, nah.
Obviously. Time out. I was offered a job with Switchfoot. Like
for real?
20 years ago. Doing merch.
You should have saved that for another episode.
I know. We'll get to that another episode.
Okay, foreshadowing. Okay,
so the lie, and it's based on another secondhand story, but nobody ever said that he had a tour where every band member had their own bus.
Of course not.
But that was actually based on another secondhand story I heard about Mercy Me, and that every band member had their own bus on the same tour. But I actually talked with Mike, the lead guitarist of Mercy Me. He came over to my house a few years ago. I know, I'm just dropping story after story that I've never told you. And he said, yeah, that's not really true. So it's not true of Crowder, and it's also not true of Mercy Me.
Fascinating. The amount of like good stories in there that I should have already heard now makes me question everything. I'm like, he's either lying about all of these because I keep believing them, or you just keep living lives you're not telling me about. I'm hurt.
So just on the last story about the song, I did have a good friend who edited HM Magazine. As his magazine, he knew Crowder personally, and he loved one of my songs so much, my friend who,
okay.
of HM Magazine, that he said, I'm going to send this to David and see what he says. And then I was at like a worship night where, you know, he and his band were leading worship. And afterwards I went up and chatted with him on stage, and he basically said like, you know, yeah, it's a really great song. Like, thanks, but no thanks.
Hey, shoot your shot. You had to you got to give it a chance.
But I'm pretty sure he you know, kind of gave me the guns and was like, but you're a good kid. So, but genuinely like one of the nicest guys I've ever met.
I mean, quite honestly, the fact that he even took the time to do that interaction proves that statement. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. And I can't believe I haven't heard that one before. Okay, well, let's do some other things I haven't heard before. I'd now like to bring in an expert to debunk or validate all the things we just heard that may or may not be lies.
Do we have a Crowder expert?
Yes.
Does he know that he's a Crowder expert, or are we just assuming now?
He does have his doctorate in Davionic Studies, of
Great.
Which David Crowder falls under. So he's a, but let's give his other credentials, because I'm sure he'd care a lot about these. This is a man who mixes front of house for Crowder and production manager at Backstage Productions in one of the best cities in America, Cullman, Alabama. Our guest.
No one has ever said before.
Well, if you're going through from Nashville to the beach, stop in Cullman. Best city. I'm going to say it's the best city in Alabama, actually. Will Brown, fight me. Like, that's the best city in Alabama.
All right. Can you introduce the guest already?
Our guest, Quentin Kelly, but his friends call him Q, so we'll see if we can call him Q by the end of the episode. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. I'm glad to be here with you.
So we've got some two truths and a lie from you.
Well, let's go back to my truths and a lie first.
My bad.
Q, first question, do you know about this Dr. Pepper mansion story? Is that actually true, or is that exaggerated?
That's huge facts. David, he did live in the Dr. Pepper mansion. That's the thing.
Oh, really? But he didn't buy
it. Oh, yeah.
No, I think he bought it.
No, he like they lived there, like owned it for a good while, as I understand the story goes.
That is absolutely insane. So he loves Dr. Pepper then, like big fan.
Yes, I can stand by it. David is a soda guy. I know him to be that.
So, Blake, if you were going to live in the mansion of any beverage, what would it be?
Oh, I mean, I would live in a Rick House for bourbon barrels, you know? I'd be getting up in that, wherever the Pappy Van Winkle Rick House is. They didn't take me on my tour at Trace whenever I was there. They said in the distance, here it is. That's the beverage warehouse I would live in. Okay, so let's get to Q's two truths and a lie. I'm going to be honest, man. You're going to have a tough time fooling us. Sometimes people will send us like up to 5 to 7. So our odds got good here.
Q, it seems like you had a tough time lying to us because maybe you're just a really honest person.
It was hard. It really was. We had to flip through, you know, kind of about me's and think through it. And me and one of our admins were sitting down and we were just, okay, what do we tell them? And I kept coming up with truth, and we tried to make things up, and the things that we made up weren't believable. So that is, you know, what you have is what we ended up with.
Well, we'll have to just read your face and maybe take some cues from that.
Well played. Cues from Q. That's your new podcast.
Cues from Q.
I actually like that a lot.
Yep. We can use that.
Here for it.
Crowder, Clam Chowder, and Cues from Q.
We'll have a Church Gear shirt by the end of the year with all
That's
right. Okay. So here they are. I'm going to read them out, and then we'll do some discussion. I'm speaking as if I was Q. I used to compete in rodeo professionally.
That's got to be true.
Mm.
Look at him.
Yeah.
That guy could rope a cattle right there.
Well, he does have a kind of camo hat on.
He's carrying some illegal weaponry on his arms.
It's a Crowder hat, by the way.
That's a Crowder hat? That's called a rodeo hat right there.
Representing.
That's right.
I really hope this isn't true as a person, but as a podcast host, I hope it is true. I had a line array fall on me.
Oh, ow.
I don't know how you're still alive. I'm a professional skydiver.
Professional skydiver. Okay, Blake. Well, my first question, obviously, is if this line array thing is true, was he wearing flip-flops?
That is, I do want to ask that.
Because if I had a line array fall on me, it would have been in flip-flops, obviously.
And Brian would say, I told you so, until Jesus comes
home
to get us. I think there's no way to be a professional skydiver unless you were paid to skydive.
Unless he was in the military.
That's true. Oh, wait a minute.
Also a thing.
I mean, he's got a, I know it's a Crowder hat, but it kind of looks, military-esque.
And I do remember when we were stalking you online, because we never do that, but when we were doing that.
Just speak for yourself.
To prep for the interview, I was like, I felt like I saw some military vibes. That's a good point. You
can
get paid to skydive that
and
way.
If he, used to live in Oklahoma, that's a big rodeo state.
Okay.
Oh, man. True. And I feel, but I do feel like if a line array falls on somebody, like
you don't
really, really bad things happen. I'm going to vote line array, Blake.
Yeah. I'm going to do what I've done for the past 2 years and ride Toby's coattails into victory. I'm going to say the line array is not true.
All right, Q, what is it?
The skydiving. The line array happened and I did do rodeo for a long time.
Man. Now, did the rodeo prepare you for the line array? Were you like, that was nothing. I've had bulls coming at me.
The line array was you can't prepare for that. It's very heavy steel hitting you very squarely. It's very unforgiving. A bull hits you and runs away. The line array just stays there.
Oh, that's a good point. So then, how bad was the extent of this? Like, are you completely on the ground and the line array is on top of you?
Yeah.
Oh, and what was the line array?
It was either Meyer, it was Lena. Josiah would 100% know. It's Lena. It was Lena, Mina, or Leopard. It was one of the power boxes.
Okay.
One of the Meyer power boxes.
But,
and it hit hard.
But regardless, it hurt.
Oh, it hurt a lot. There was a hospital trip. There was a lot of blood. Josiah was there when it happened. He was my A2 at the time, Josiah Vick, and they all thought I was dead for a second.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was bad. It was a very interesting event. There are pictures somewhere, but it knocked out some of my teeth and messed my nose up, and one of my teeth went through my lip. It was a lip. It was a whole thing.
Oh my gosh!
But went to the hospital that day. They were able to put my teeth back in. Funny enough, which was its own experience. And then was back I was there for the show that night. I won't say that I'm mixed, just I
lived
out in front of house that night. But I did fire the air cannons that night. So I did contribute to the show.
That's amazing. You didn't break any bones, just like a lot of blood loss.
Cracks. They put a pretty big, took a chunk out of my jawline or out of my gum line here. And so they had to put a splint in to hold all that together. And then I put a splint in my teeth as well.
Well, modern medicine is a wonder because you look great. So I just could
not.
Well,
I appreciate it, man.
So
I do what I can.
So Q, you may know about this. I'm sure Blake does not. Do you guys both know the show MythBusters?
Yes, I know of the show.
Yes.
And
yes.
Do you know that Meyer speakers were featured in an episode of MythBusters?
Did not know that.
Did you know about this, Q?
I did.
So there is a myth, and it's called the Brown Note. Have you guys heard of this myth?
No.
That it is like, mythical warfare, that you can produce a low-end frequency, a very specific frequency, and you fire it at somebody, and it makes them poop their pants.
Okay.
And so Mythbusters did an episode where they tried to find the brown note, and what they did is they brought out John Meyer with a whole huge setup of dual 18 Meyer subs in like a horseshoe shape. And then they had a frequency generator, and they'd have somebody stand in the horseshoe and then just amplify frequencies and then just, you know, try and find that frequency.
Did anybody poop their pants?
No.
So
they said it felt really weird, but nobody pooped their pants. So Q, I want to know, when this Meyer hit you, did it find the brown note?
It did not find the brown note. It found a whole lot of other notes, but not that one.
Great. You heard it here, folks. Q did not poop his pants.
I did not.
No. And returned that night. You know, what has happened here is this is a dangerous situation, but it set an even more dangerous precedent. Like, no one can use an excuse anymore at a live event. Nope. Like, you had a Linery speaker nearly kill you, and you were there that night.
And was it because Crowder said, if you're not back by showtime, you're fired?
I wasn't working for Crowder when this one happened, but it was not. It was probably more out of my stubbornness than anything. The artist I was working for was very accommodating, and it was the beginning, if you can believe it. It was day two of a 30 some odd day tour. Right. And so when it happened in my hometown. So my mom was able to come and do, you know, be mom and help me around the hospital and all that. But it was something else. That's what I'll say.
Mama Q to the rescue.
Man. That's right.
that's
you know, he's Q because his first name is Quentin.
I'm Q.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey,
yeah,
I'm
Kelly.
So it's not Mama Q, it's Q's mama.
Look, if it sounds right in my head, I say it. That's my only rule I live by besides the Bible. So let's back it up, though. Before that Line Array crushed you, you know what? Screw it. I have one more question. I have to ask this. Who do you blame for this event? Were you just moving quickly?
Was it Josiah Vick's fault?
Did someone push it on you?
It wasn't Josiah's fault, but... we were what we chalked it up to. We were running on no sleep, and so some very interesting checkpoints weren't hit, and it was just because we were on team no sleep, and those the combination of those few things happened, and that array came down, and it was super unfortunate, you know, if it taught us anything, it was, you know, I think when you're in the touring world especially. People kind of run on the wire. They run everything, burn the candle at both ends. And it just kind of spoke to us how dangerous that can actually be. And so, you know, I tell everyone I can, you know, do what you can to be efficient, get some rest, make sure you're eating good things, staying hydrated, or you might have a PA fall on you.
Words of wisdom, cues from Q.
Yes.
There you go. Cues from Q.
Man.
Heard it here first.
That's amazing. You're very positive and nice. I don't know. I think I would have been jaded for the rest of my life had this happened to me.
Might have shaken something loose. That's fair.
So give us like your journey into tech before the Line Array kills you and before we scare off anyone who's younger thinking about doing this. Like to techs in the Christian world, like mixing for Crowder is pretty high up there and like the dream job. But like let's rewind a little bit and give us the stepping stones to that moment.
I grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and our hardcore Christians will know the name Carlton Pearson. Carlton Pearson had a church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, hired him in his family church, and I started working there, volunteering even, when I was in middle school, and it was taking bottles of Listerine with toothbrushes to the choir mics on Monday mornings and Monday nights and things, and scrubbing mic grills, and that's how I got started. And we had a massive fellowship hall. And there were two guys, three, Tim Kennard, Walter Williams, and Quentin Davis, who's one of the only other Quentins I know. He spells his name the exact same way. And those guys mentored me. And David Smith was Bishop Pearson's music director and has been, was for a long time. And they got me started in a lot of studio work and live production. And so I used to mix youth events and they let me help out in the main room. And Higher Day used to put on these summits at Oral Roberts in the Navy Center called Zusta. And they'd pack out that place for a week and they'd bring in everyone, Israel, Kirk Franklin, T.D. Jakes, Donnie McClurkin, Sheard Sisters. I mean, everyone in gospel music was there. And a lot of the ministers that are mainstays now, their early days were started at Azusa. And so as a kid, watching it happen, that was the first time I had seen an arena rig. And that was before liners. That was when everyone was putting, you know, 20-point search boxes together and chaining them up. And they were in there like these massive PA hangs.
You still don't want those to fall on you, but...
No, nope. You don't come back from that. You don't come back. But I remember just being a little kid and seeing the massive, you know, soundcraft and press desks and saying, oh my gosh, you know, I want to do this. And this is what I want. And from a really young age, my parents spoke leadership over me. And that was a thing that we were told by the ministers that we were under. And so my parents fostered that really well as I was growing up. And so in high school, I mixed a lot of musicals, and I started with a company, Lone Wolf Audio, when I was about 16. And I would go out and we'd do graduations and concerts, and we worked for a couple clubs in Oklahoma and in the surrounding areas. And I mixed all kinds of different things and learned all kinds of things. And then I came on as the technical director for Transformation Church in its inception, and I would have been 2013, 2014. And I grew up with a lot of the folks out of Transformation. So that was a really good time. I transitioned out of Transformation and went to school in Phoenix at the Conservatory for Recording Arts and Sciences. And I spent some time at OSU and spent some time hanging out at OSU, probably better. But
okay, tell but, me, pause real quick and tell me just a little bit about the Conservatory recording. Because I know growing up, it was kind of like it was Full Sail and then the Conservatory Recording Arts. So, you know, what was your experience like there? How did you enjoy it?
I loved it. Keeping in mind, I had already been doing a little bit of touring or a very small amount of time before I went to the conservatory. And so large format PAs weren't a new thing, but the applied sciences to them was very foreign. And so understanding softwares like SMART and getting into L-Acoustics and understanding really the math behind audio and electricity and what kind of makes all this stuff tick and work, a lot of the science of it was super foreign. And Keith Morris and Peter Bish were two of the instructors that were just super hands-on with me, and they just kind of took me under their wing, and they showed me a lot of cool stuff. And Keith is just mathematical genius. I don't know how he just does what he does, but he's a legend. And they really made me spend the time to get it right. You know, look, you can get a rig sounding pretty good, but we're not going to let them get away with pretty good. We're going to make it great. And so they really made me stick to it and stay with it. And there were some nights where at the conservatory, if you do the day classes, I believe you're there from 9 a.m. to about 3. And then if you're going to do anything in the studios or in the live sound room, you have to come back at night. And so it's a labor of love because it's the labor of love words, because if you don't love it and you don't spend time on it, you don't get anywhere. And that's what they tell you when you start at the conservatory, you'll get as much out of this as you put into it. And that has rang true from the conservatory to anything that I've done professionally.
Yeah.
Do
you feel like you got your start mostly in like the touring world, live production outside of the church, or was the church more formative for you in your production training? Because I know you mentioned Transformation Church, but.
Sure. The church is definitely a huge catalyst to that. Had it not been for the church, I don't know that I would be doing what I do now.
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say.
And as you, are you mostly living in the, you know, concert production world these days as opposed to the church production world?
Yes. There are definitely some churches that I still do go and help out here and there. In 2020, when everything shut down, I just spent a lot of time at Transformation Church and hanging out with them in their new building. And there's still some churches, even in the Tulsa area, that I still go to and help out. There's some churches in Nashville as well that I frequent. The Belonging Co. Is where I go to church when I'm in Nashville. And
yeah,
got a lot of friends that work at production there. And a lot of different places. And then with my job at Backstage, we're at Church of the Highlands. We contract to them as well. And so I get to be in some of their services and be a part of what's going on out there as well. So I still do find myself in some church production here and there.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I'm thinking like, you know, the average church production guy is thinking like, you know, mixing a Crowder show, that's like a dream gig. What's in your mind, like, what's kind of the difference, you know, between mixing a Crowder show or any, you know, live concert versus mixing on a Sunday morning? And obviously, you know, Crowder and his band are going to be the ultimate level of production. But, you know, if your church has some great musicians, a great band, you know, how does it feel, different or similar?
Well, some of the similarities, some of the churches that I have the honor to mix for, the similarities with Crowder to those A-level musicians are A-level musicians, whether they're out in a concert hall, in a performing arts center, or in a church auditorium. Those guys are fire players through and through. And so those things are consistent across the board. But at a Crowder show, you know, I'll tell you guys, there's just nothing like mixing a Crowder show. And I can't tell you how many artists I've mixed for in the past, but I've never had so many colors to paint with as I do or have had mixing for Crowder. I mean, I get everything from mod synths to sub 37 to electric bass, and then another slew of synths and things that come to me, and vocals, and there will be a fiddle, and an electric guitar, then a dobro, then a steel, a whole percussion rig, you know, a million piece drum kit. I mean, and then everything, and that's just the band. That's not even David's stuff. And David comes with his own whole rig of different guitars and things that he likes to play and do as well.
And do you feel do you feel like at the beginning of the night, you know what's coming, or does David just always throw you curveballs? You just have to hold on.
The first year of mixing for David was a year of curveballs, trying to understand what David was going to do. But when you mix for David Crowder, the mindset you have to wrap your head around is you just have to be ready for anything. So, you know, while some guys have a set list that may have 12 songs on it, and they know they're going to do those 12 songs, my list of snapshots is about 30 songs deep, just in case.
Yeah, there's no like easy, oh, I'm just going to hit play on all these presets for you.
No.
Speaking of that, like every season tech has a oh no moment.
We call it oh crap.
Okay. Yes. We basically implied, you know, fecal matter earlier. So when you have that oh crap moment, like every tech's got one where just live sound, everything goes wrong. Like, and this is in no way implying like you did anything wrong. Like so much of it is like band didn't talk to me or gear breaks. Like in the, we've had consoles spark, whatever it may be. I love seeing the tech tenacity of techs to just be like, I'm gonna figure it out. They just, it does not bother them. Like they're unfazed by stuff that as I hear it, my toes are curling. So do you have one of those moments you can give us?
I have a super recent one, funny enough. And it wasn't anyone's fault. It was, you know, stuff just happens.
Are you sure it wasn't Josiah Vick's fault? We're just going to throw him under the bus on this podcast.
You know, I can tell you, and if we have time later, I have some Josiah Vick stories, but I can't blame this one on him.
Well, being thrown under the bus is much better than being thrown under a line array, at least from what I hear.
Facts.
Yeah.
Huge facts. This year I did, we did Passion Conference this year. We did that with David, and so we've sound checked and everything's ready to go. We've listen to the file, we're coming up, and there's 55,000, 60 some odd people in the stands at this point. And David's backstage, I'm listening on my talk back, and we're talking back and forth about 10 minutes to go. And something tells me to just go and look at my file one more time, just make sure everything's right. And so I use Waves, I use multi-rack, or not multi-rack, oh my gosh. Super rack sound grid, not multi.
Okay.
And so I'm soloing channels trying to see, and I go to David's vocal and I hit solo to get his little situation popped up, and it recalls nothing. Ooh. And so it's two inputs off. And so I change it to his input and hit it, it comes up. And I say, you know, I should probably go check some other things too. So I go to his guitar channel, I hit it, two inputs off. The whole console, all my inserts have shifted two inputs. And that includes my left, right.
Oof.
And so had we have not checked that 10 minutes before we went on, David would have got out on stage in front of however many thousand people in that Mercedes-Benz stadium. There would have been no audio whatsoever.
And then you'd have Sandstrom off in the corner being like amateur.
Right. And no one wants that.
No.
You know, it, it, I'm sure Sandstrom was literally, I remember he was over there to my right. There was an SD5 that he was mixing on, an SD12 in the middle, and the SD5 that I was mixing on. And Nick Geiger was there. And if you've never met Nick Geiger, he's the guy that you want at front of house when something like this happens. Mm. Him or Stephen Bailey, both of those guys, they're just the best. And so I tell Nick, I said, hey, dude, my inputs are off, my two inputs, the whole thing. And he goes, okay, we're just going to repatch it real quick. We just got to make it happen. I said, we don't have time to figure that out. And so we go and we repatch the whole file, every single insert in that file. And what you have to know about Passion, it's all of David's normal stuff, as well as all the extras that come with playing Passion. So extra vocal mics for guests, extra guitar inputs for any guests that might show up, a whole nother B stage list of inputs, everything. I think for him, we were at 70 some odd inputs for Passion, and it was crazy. But we got it patched just as they were saying, or as soon as the TalkMac was saying, David's on deck, and we hit go, and we had a great night. It was a good time.
That's amazing. Did you look over at Sandstrom and be like, suck it?
No. I'm kind of scared of Jeff a little bit.
I know. I get it. No. We all are a little bit.
No, see, Toby, Q here is a nice guy. He can just celebrate a win.
I know. I keep forgetting I'm not a nice guy, so suck it, Sandstrom.
Oh, man. I'm going to send Sandstrom a soundbite of this before he comes on our podcast now.
Yeah, perfect.
Gosh, I love it.
So, Q, that is kind of an oh, crap moment, but you're kind of like, you know, you're talking about Passion as like this wild ride. Do you have, mm-hmm. if it's not Passion, do you have like something you can point to where it was like, this is one of my favorite moments of all time in live production?
It's not Passion?
I mean, it can be, but it's, you know, repeat.
And I'll give and you two, because the first one is Passion, definitely. David wrote this song, God Really Loves Us, and Dante Bose sang it on the record. And we did 30-some-odd dates of his headline tour, and that song hit right every night. And at Passion, and this probably covers a slew of events where this happened, there will never be anything that beats the sound of thousands of people worshiping together. You can't beat it.
Yep.
And so the simplicity of hearing people sing just the simple truth that God really loves us, you're almost in tears. And so I'm standing in front of house in the bins in the middle of 55,000, 60,000 youth and young adults. And they're all singing and just remembering that God really loves us, and David's playing, and the rig and everything just hit so right. It just felt so good. And it just all hits you at once. And that's been the same experience that I've had with David. I mixed for Jordan Feliz for a while and Sidewalk Prophets. And I've gotten the chance to touch faders for a lot of different Christian artists. And those moments are the moments that you remember. And those are honestly the moments that make this worth it. And even in the secular realm, I've gotten to do some mixing and shows, and there's just nothing that compares to it. I mean, I could recant some great things from those shows as well. But just hearing people worship all at one time, being in the middle of that is just unreal.
Getting a little early glimpse of heaven right there.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, that's nice.
Okay, so, I mean, we're not going to throw Crowder under the bus, because, I mean, we already did Sandstrom. Do we throw anybody else under the bus yet?
Josiah's body is mangled Vic. Under the bus.
Sorry,
at this
buddy.
Point. The bus doesn't have any more space between the tires.
But, I mean, obviously, Crowder is the right answer to this question, but see if you can step out of this this mode. If somebody called you tomorrow and said, hey, we need you to show up and mix this show for us, and you would drop everything to do it, you know, do you have a dream artist that you would, and it doesn't have to be Christian, it could be anybody.
Yeah, this is your, I've got a vacation that's been planned for 2 weeks, and they call you the day before, and you're like, who cares about my vacation? I'm going to this guy.
Yeah.
Or girl.
I think there are four that I know I would just drop everything.
Okay.
Because I think about this every now and again.
Yeah.
Ben Rector. I would love to mention Ben Rector.
Yeah.
That would just be the best. There's this band Virginia to Vegas. They're really cool. Justin Bieber, of course. pro bono, I'd just go do it.
I mean, Blake and I are believers, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I'm completely here for it. And then the artist her, that's H-E-R. And she just sonically, everything that she does musically is just whoa. And she's an artist. And I think many people would agree that there aren't very many artists that you can just go to their playlist, push play, and just listen to it. But she is in that category, or at least from my standpoint.
Big facts.
But yeah.
And we do have an episode with one of our techs named Brian Boggs, and he mixed monitors for Ben Rector for a tour. But at the beginning of that episode, and to all our listeners out there, there's a great story of Ben Rector and Snoop Dogg.
Oh, yep. Yep. Okay. So,
go find that episode and listen to that.
Man, that would have been quite the surprise appearance at the Super Bowl.
Snoop Dogg, Ben Rector, what?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay, let's get back to the gear for a second. What is like your favorite mixing? You've got all these, you know, dream tours that you would do. What would be your mixing console you would take? Money is no object. Rarity is no object. It could be from any time, any place, whatever it may be. What would be your favorite mixing console to use in those dream concerts?
I'm a Digico guy through and through, man. I used to be a Yamaha guy, and nothing against Yamaha and really what they have out now, the PM10 and the 5 are, oh my gosh. But the user interface on the Digico, to me, you can't beat it. And so right now, the Quantum 338, I would take on just about anything and be more than satisfied to be mixing on that.
Now, inversely, do you have one? Because we had a story where someone showed up with a mixer and then it wouldn't fit. And so then he had to mix on something else. Do you have a mixer that if it was just like, this is your board for this concert, you'd be like, I don't know if I can even ethically touch this. I can't do it. Do you have any boards?
Any of like the old boom. Midas, like not the analog Midas, but like the Pro 2, Pro 1, Pro C stuff. Nope, not here for it. Sounds great. User interface. I just can't hang.
What if I told you we have a whole bunch of Pro 1s and Pro 2s and Pro 6s and worse? Come on, Q.
I heard.
Why don't you come on up to Church Gear and we'll outfit you with a Midas Pro system.
This is how you know that these interviews are authentic. Yeah, because we're totally selling those. We just gave our own booby trap boards away right there. Okay.
But they are, that's got to be the prettiest board of all time, is that Midas blue with their color scheme. Digico can't touch that Midas blue.
I mean, you know, the best thing, you know, biblically that you can do with those is to dunk them in a big old pool of holy water and allow them to be the boat anchors that they are. Anyway.
Speaking of blessings, bless us with a tech takeaway, man. This is the thing.
Or a cue from Q.
Oh, how'd I miss that?
I know.
All right, let's take our cues from Q here. What is something that you would give someone that's mixing? Because like you've got a wealth of knowledge across church, tours, secular, non-secular. Like, what is something you would say to a tech director at a church? Like, hey, man, this is something I love doing. It helps me on anything I'm doing, like any concert I'm doing, any service I'm doing. It could be philosophical, could be technical, could be really anything. Just it feels like it is your personal tip that you always use.
Sure. For anyone that is especially in any church leadership, but any leadership period, the leadership aspect of it, you know, we always want to lead well and we want to treat people well and we want people to walk away more full than they came in. So that's always something that I keep in mind. And that's any of our team here at Backstage or the team with Crowd or anything like that. I always want people to leave more full than when they arrived. And then the second side of that is the mixing aspect. All the church technical guys or any technical guy, but mixing worship and mixing Christian music is just, it's a little different. But the application of it, if you do it in a certain way, can take you anywhere. And what I mean by that, when even with David, David never sings one song the same way twice. And I've told people as well, I've never mixed a David Crowder show the same way twice. And the reason is, there's something different about each show. Sometimes David goes a little bit heavier than he did the night before. Sometimes he doesn't. There are nights that, we just, without getting too churchy on you, the spirit moves a little bit differently. And so I might push that low end a little bit harder at the end of the song and give you a little bit of shake, you know, and some nights I don't. But, you know, I think my best advice would be, don't be so technical that you're not spiritual. There's so much science to what we do. And I love the science. I love the numbers. I love the software. I love the applications and all of that. All of those things are great. But if the application to it isn't spiritually led, you're not doing it right. And I know that's probably a very bold thing to say, but that's how I feel about it. And so as over the years, people have said, you know, Q, what is it that you do? What makes your mix special? And what I tell people is I go and do church. And that's whether I'm mixing for David or I'm mixing for anybody. Even in the secular realm, people ask the same thing. What do you do differently? And it's church. I mix church, man. It's great.
That's so amazing. I love how like really tech really can take you anywhere. We have so many stories that mirror yours of someone took someone under their wing and then suddenly mm-hmm. they're mixing in any place in the world for any person yep. in the world. It's like, even if you live in a small town and you feel like your opportunity is like, what can I do here? If there's a church there and a tech person that you can help under, that can catapult you anywhere.
I mean, the biggest, and that's interesting that you say that. You know, I have one of our guys, that's, you know, Q, you know, where does the advancement happen? Where, you know, when did the steps happen? And that's what I tell people is like, the advancement happened when I was serving, and not even serving at a church necessarily, but when you're serving, that's when people are looking. So do your best when you're serving, and that's where advancement comes from, is serving well.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, man.
Well, do you have anything to plug while you're on, man? We really appreciate you joining the show. This has been hysterical. Is there anything you'd like to point people to?
And besides Midas Pro Series.
And besides the great city of Pullman, Alabama.
I'm out here backstage and, you know, we're always looking for ways to get involved and be that, you know, on the Christian side or secular or in any musical thing that we can help people with. I mean, we're audio, video, and lighting. And so Brad Brooks is the owner and he's been around for a long time, but we're in a really interesting building stage right now. And so we're looking for ways to serve and get out there. And so we're pretty much open to just about anything. And so that's where I'm at right now. Shameless plug, man. Backstage is ready to do it. So backstageproductionsllc.com.
Stellar. I'll put that in the show notes.
Sweet.
Okay. Well, man, we just really appreciate you coming on.
You got it. Happy to do it, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for listening. And hey, congratulations on surviving Sunday. If you happen to make it through next Sunday as well, join us again for your weekly tech breather.
Blake, do you know what review I would give this episode of our podcast?
A daring defeat of death.
No, I would give it best laugh from a guest of all time. Q's laugh, I mean, that is, I would give that a definite 5-star review.
It did fill me with happiness, which is what I hope our podcast does for other people. And, you know, if this has filled you with happiness, maybe pop us a 5-star review. You know, that is the thing that saves us from falling under the pain of a linery.
Take your cue from Q, leave a 5-star review.
Oh gosh, that was great. Brian, cut whatever I said. That was the one.
Okay, Blake, I've been working on some jingles for our new website launch. So I've got churchy, churchy, church, church gear.
Toby, what have I told you about singing on the podcast? It doesn't work. But you know what is working? Our new website. You can actually get it to load on your phone. You can actually buy a new piece of gear without your phone bursting into flames.
Well, what if I spelled it out like C-H-U-R-C-G-E-R?
Toby, stop. That is not working. But you know what is working? The search bar on our website. You can actually search speakers and speakers will appear. No joke, that didn't always work.
Okay, what if I just did something like go to churchgear.com?
You know what? That one works.